by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of...
Good afternoon. Welcome to In Your Backyard. This is Teresa Watkins. I have explosive news for you today, so you're going to want to stay tuned and listen. Florida has a new termite, so I'm going to be talking to the Fresh from Florida, the Department of Agriculture today, and we're going to be talking about this new termite. You're going to want to stay tuned and listen because they want to know if you've seen it. So it's going to be a great revelation. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Teresa Watkins. This is In Your Backyard. This is an hour gardening program that you can call in with your gardening questions, 787-9523. If you're in the garden area, I'd love to talk to you. This is Florida. It's a great start of the month. We're seeing warm temperatures. It's kind of like, March and April right now. We're going to see some 80s this weekend. We are going to have to, make sure your containers, your plants are going to get watered. We can only water one time a week right now, though, until we have the time change in the spring. So it's still once a week watering, but you are going to see that the plants are going to need a little bit more hydration. You're going to want to use hand watering your containers. We're going to get rain this weekend, but just keep an eye on it, okay? So there's lots of things to do in the garden this month. It's going to be great weather to do it in. And, it's just February. This is what Florida winters are. And the temperatures are in the 80s and 70s, 50s and 60s at night. And not too much rain, blue skies and clouds. It's beautiful out there. What can you be planting right now in your garden? There are so many great plants for you. You can just go to the garden centers and see all the beautiful color. The possibility of getting another freeze is there. Usually our last freeze is by March 15th. So we've got 6 weeks approximately to go. And so, we could get a major freeze, but I'm not betting on it. We may see colder temperatures going down. We may have one or two more cold fronts come through that put the temperatures down to the 30s and 40s. But hopefully not a significant freeze this year. This is an El Nino year, and it's going to be warm. And so that's a good thing for our tourists and families visiting us this time of the year. Plants that you can be planting right now? Well, the flowers are beautiful. We can still be planting spring annuals, alyssum and asters and bacopa. Begonias are planted year-round here, so you can do that. Carnations and calendulas, coneflowers, good time to be planting those, coreopsis and cosmos, delphinium, we're getting right towards the end of delphiniums. I don't necessarily think I would plant delphiniums. It's more for the fall so that it blooms all throughout the winter. We're seeing these warm temperatures. I don't think they're going to last too long in the garden. Dianthus and Diacia, those should do pretty well through April and May. Again, those are annuals. Dichondra grows here all year round, so those are good additions to your container gardens, hanging baskets. They should do really well. Dusty Miller grows all year round. We usually see it for sale in the springtime at garden centers, but they can grow through the summertime and go back into the fall. They just need to be deadheaded after they flower. They have a beautiful yellow flower on them. And then Mexican heather grows year round. 4 o'clocks. We're getting a little late on the 4 o'clocks, okay? It's more like, 5, 6 o'clock on the 4 o'clocks. So you don't necessarily want to be planting those. But gaillardias, garas, and gazanias, those are three beautiful flowers. They've got those hot colors, and they will do well all through the summertime. Go ahead and plant those in your garden right now as well. Butterfly attractors, they're great. Geraniums can still be bought. We consider more of annuals here in Florida, but we've still got a few more months that they'll be doing okay. Gerber daisies, you can be planting those. Johnny jump ups, well, they're doing fine in my garden. I've got pansies blooming like crazy in the yard, But again, it's getting a little warm. When the temperatures get over the 70 degrees, we start thinking springtime maintenance and go ahead and start getting our lawns prepared for the warmer temperatures. So Million Bells should do fine through June, July. Nasturtiums, you can go ahead and grow those. Petunias, they should be fine for the next few months. Roses. Of course, you can grow roses here year-round, so this is a great time to be planting them. If you have roses in your yard, this is a good time to cut them back, deadhead them. Go ahead and give them a little bit of extra mulch and fertilize them, and they're going to be blooming their little hearts out in about 2 months. You'll see about 6 to 8 weeks, they'll start blooming again. Salvias, we can plant those all year round. So those are good choices. Snapdragons, yeah, I wouldn't go for winter annuals right now. When you see them, it's just the last of the set. We're not going to have the cooler temperatures that they thrive in. So stay away from the fall and winter annuals that you see that are looking really good at the stores, because, yeah, they look good right now, but they're only going to last about a month in your yard. Now, if you have a special event coming up, you have a party, you know, a Valentine's Day party, and you want to use them, then that's okay. Go ahead and make your yard look real pretty by planting these. But these are winter annuals. And, you know, the groundhog didn't see a shadow. So we're talking about, we're going to be seeing spring real soon here. Stokes Aster and Yarrows. Yarrows do good year-round here, so those are good choices. Now, the vegetables, well, you know, the cool season vegetables are still being sold, but I would just go ahead and start with your beans, your cantaloupe, your tomatoes, you know, your corn, cucumbers, eggplants, watermelon, loofahs, peppers, pumpkins. Get those pumpkins in the ground now. You know, you can do the little small white boo pumpkins that are really cute, or you can do the large, gigantic ones. Burpee has a great selection of seeds that you can get right now for your watermelons and your pumpkins. You can look at burpee.com. I am the Southern regional reporter for burpee.com, and you can go on and see what I recommend for your landscape this time of the year. Squash, too. You can go ahead and put out summer squash and, put those down. And so herbs are going to be fine. So your herbs, your anise, your basil, borage, chives. Chives grow year-round here, basically. I have them in my yard, and they self-seed, and I just leave them, and they just look great. But then I know also, too, where they are, and when I need chives for my baked potatoes, I just go out and just snip a couple of the green leaves off, and I've got chives for my potatoes. Dill and fennel, great for the butterflies. You're going to want to start to, plant those for butterfly pollinators going through your yard. Lemon balm and mint. Mint is a great ground cover. And I hear people saying that it's invasive. Well, if you think it's going to be invasive in your yard, you can always plant it in a big pot in a container. But I don't see what the problem is with putting it in your yard and using it as a ground cover. So I think that's a really great fragrant way to have your yard smelling real nice. Then also oregano and parsley and rosemary. My rosemary is doing really good. I even have it on a patio, and it's not getting a lot of sunlight. It's getting, the sideways angled sunlight, but it's just doing just fine. Sage and sweet marjoram, tarragon. Oh, I love tarragon. Don't you love steak with béarnaise sauce? I do. Filet with béarnaise sauce or a strip steak with béarnaise sauce. Well, to make béarnaise, you have to have tarragon. So go ahead and buy some and learn how to be a chef in your kitchen with some of these great herbs. And then also thyme. So thyme makes a really nice ground cover. It makes a great addition to your little border gardens, especially in your pollinator gardens. And, just stepping on it, it does take a little bit of foot traffic, not too much. I mean, you can't have your, 120-pound Great Dane, doing a gallops over it, most of the day. But, if you're just walking from your garden pathway to your garage or your front door to your car, and you're using stepping stones, flagstones, and you're putting some creeping thyme in between your flagstones, it should do just fine. And, you know, it grows in full sunlight, but also in a little bit of partial sun. So morning sun, afternoon shade, or morning shade, afternoon sun will be just fine for it. And then we have our great bulbs. Do you not love bulbs? I have to tell you, I just got in an order from PlantDelights.com. And Plant Delights has so many great tropical plants. They've got great catalog. This catalog will blow you away. All the tropical plants you can get, they even have some native Florida plants in them, but they have great bulbs too as well. And I got some rain lilies. I got purple rain lilies. I got yellow rain lilies. I got orange rain lilies, and I can't wait to put them in my garden. They're still in pots right now. They came in great shape from plantdelights.com. They're out of North Carolina. You want to check those out. But bulbs, African iris, amaryllis, Asiatic lilies, blackberry lilies do great in my yard. Blood lilies, bulbines, caladiums. Now's the time to get the caladiums in. Cannas, gladiolas, they'll do great. They come back every year. Gloriosa lilies, society garlic, and spider lilies. Stay tuned. You're going to want to hear talking to Blondine Galbraith with Simon Seeds Nursery and all the great things that are going on there. But did you know that we've discovered a new termite in Florida? You're going to want to stay tuned for this because the state of Florida needs your help. Stay tuned. You're listening to In Your Backyard. Teresa Watkins here on Real Country AM 790 WLBE.
Sunnyland Professional Fertilizers is what Florida lawns and gardens require to keep them healthy, green, and growing. For over a century, Sunnyland has been your hometown team, making fertilizers in Florida specifically for our sandy soil conditions. You can purchase Sunnyland products, Right Green, Turf Grow, and Sunnyland Professional Fertilizers at Ace Hardware, Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart. When you're looking for fertilizer for your Florida lawn and garden, put your trust in Sunnyland. Sunnyland, keeping Florida green since 1834.
Hi, this is Teresa Watkins, host of In Your Backyard on My 790 AM. When I need gardening supplies, I stop by Simon Seeds in Leesburg. Simon Seed has everything you need to make your yard beautiful and your garden productive, from seeds and plants to organic pesticides and fertilizers. Blondine can help you grow your plants like a pro. Make your landscape and garden the envy of your neighborhood. Visit Simon Seed at 105 West Magnolia in downtown Leesburg. Or call Blondine at 787-4415 and be on your way to the yard you've always dreamed of.
And we're back with more of In Your Backyard. Teresa Watkins here. We have a lot to do with the gardens this month. You don't want to be cutting back your azaleas, but you do want to be cutting back your ornamental hedges. So any of your viburnums, your ligustrums, your Japanese blueberries, you can go ahead and cut those back. You can cut them back by a third, and that's not going to do too much damage. And you want to do this on a regular basis just to keep them dense at the bottom. Make sure you're not cutting them in a straight line. Have the bottom angle out just a little bit so that the top of your hedge is smaller than the bottom of your hedge. And what that's going to do is going to stop that bare bottom syndrome. It's what I call it, where all of your hedges get really bare at the bottom and you can see through. Okay, so if the bottom can get the sunlight by keeping the top of the hedge a little bit thinner, then the bottom will stay nice and thick. So don't cut it in straight lines. I find that I see people doing this who are engineers and who are architects and builders and people who like accountants, people who like things straight. Now, if you'll stand back, you can angle it out just a little bit and stand back and look at it, and it'll look straight from the road, okay? But that's going to keep your head just nice and thick and prevent that bare bottom syndrome, okay? So this is also, too, the time of the year. You're going to definitely want to take advantage of Sunnyland's new products, the professional and all-natural fertilizers, to make sure that your garden and your landscape is
ready and set to go for the springtime with these warmer temperatures. You're going to want to be putting emergents down, okay, especially crabgrass emergents. So, check it out. Don't want to wait until March. It's going to be a little bit late if you've got a really weedy problem in your yard. Also, too, if you usually get weeds in your yard, you're going to want to make sure that you're bagging your clippings. Keep your bagger on your lawnmower. That way, when the weeds go to seed, you're not just putting them right back in and composting them back into your landscape. You're taking them and throwing them away. All right. Now, if you do have a compost pile and you put your clippings in there, make sure it gets hot enough. So you're going to want to make sure that you're doing everything correctly for your compost pile. Well, let's go to my favorite nursery here in Leesburg, Florida, Simon Seeds Nursery. Good afternoon, Blondine. How are you?
Good afternoon.
How's it going at Simon Seeds Nursery this afternoon?
It's doing great. We're having this gorgeous weather after all these cloudy days. Oh my goodness.
I'm telling you, it just feels like, spring is here. And it's time to do a little bit of everything in your garden.
Absolutely. And now's the time to plant your fruit trees.
Yes.
And we just got, I don't think I've spoken with you since we got them in. And they look great.
So what kind of fruit trees?
We have peaches and nectarines and apples and lots of blueberries and olives and some figs and some persimmon and some blackberries and some grapes.
Oh, wonderful. Now, we have to let everybody know that when we say apples and pears and peaches and nectarines and plum trees, things like that, that these are specially grown for Central Florida.
Absolutely, yes. These are locally grown. They're grafted on the appropriate rootstock to some of them, especially the peaches, to prevent the nematode damage.
Sure.
So it's really important that when you go through the expense and the time, mostly, to plant fruit trees, that you do it, with varieties that are suitable for down here. Otherwise, it's a big waste.
Yeah, exactly. Or they're just going to constantly see their tree not thriving, and they're
right.
going to be wanting to use a lot of chemicals, and that's not necessary if you get the right kind of fruit trees.
Absolutely. Other than that, vegetables are kicking in really hard. Peppers and tomatoes are coming in. I mean, we're like a week, 2 weeks away, basically, from switching over to the warm season crop.
Sure.
You can still, get your kale in, and especially quick crops like lettuce and, kale, mustard, Swiss chard, even cauliflower. You still have time to do that, but
sure.
I wouldn't delay it very much. Herbs, also, now is a good time to get your herbs going, and we've got a, good selection, things like, of course, your parsley, lavender, oregano, thyme, different types of mints, some lemongrass, which I understand is supposedly good for a mosquito repellent. So
exactly, and it also makes a great soup.
Does it? Yeah, of course. Yes,
lemongrass soup
true.
Is excellent.
Yeah, that and some teas. We still have camellias.
Camellias are beautiful this year.
They are. Some of the late season bloomers are still doing their thing, and we're getting another shipment tomorrow.
Oh, excellent. And those make great hedges and even as specimen trees in your yard. So I think everybody should have at least one camellia in the yard.
Oh, yeah. They're lovely. Bedding plants, pansies and petunias, sweet alyssum, snapdragons, all those. This is a time of year for them. I personally suggest that people delay planting the tropical plants because there's a somewhat of a likelihood we possibly could have.
I think so. I was just saying that we might get, one or two, maybe 30 to 40 degree temperatures and things like that, but hopefully it won't last too long.
No, but I mean, things like, especially like bougainvilleas, I tell people, if I bring them in, they've been in a greenhouse, and if you put them outside, just that cold wind will make
sure.
them not look so good. So
sure.
I would wait on those. Let's see, seeds. We're starting to get our vegetable seeds in. We have our corn seeds, sweet corn seeds, and some of the beans and some of the southern peas are starting to come in.
Those are delicious,
potatoes,
too.
People have been asking about potatoes. We finally got another shipment in.
What kind of potatoes?
We have Yukon Gold, we have White Kennebec, and we have Red Pontiacs.
Ooh, I love the Red Pontiacs.
You know, they're so easy to plant. So, I mean, you can even plant them in hay or whatever.
Sure.
Onion sets also. We have plenty of onion sets. Still have plenty of time to do that.
Always have onions on hand. It's my favorite vegetable.
Yeah, you can put them in your fridge and plant a row or so every week. And,
sure.
They'll keep coming that way. Geraniums are looking great.
And you have them in the hanging baskets?
We have them in hanging basket, and we have them in 6-inch and in 10-inch and some even in 4-inch. And
uh-huh.
They are just absolutely beautiful. I'm trying to think.
What about roses? Valentine's Day is coming up. What are you bringing in for Valentine's Day?
I know. I'm debating, but I'm thinking I probably will pick up some for Valentine's next week, yeah. And there'll be the Nelson roses.
Which are for Florida. They're grown on Fortunata rootstock.
Which are for Florida, grafted on Fortunata rootstock. Mm-hmm. And that's really the only one you should be planting. I do have some Louis Philippe, which are on their own rootstock. And you know, they are fabulous.
They're my favorite. One of my favorite roses.
Any problem whatsoever with them.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I also have some little dwarf roses that are on their own rootstock. We call them cemetery roses because you can literally plant them and forget them.
Uh-huh.
And I do have a few of those. They're red. They don't even have a name.
Uh-huh.
I get them from a friend of mine who grows them. So
that's pretty cool. Now, also, yep. Too, we're starting with, you know, getting ready for fertilizers and herbicides, but pre-emergence. And you have all of that available.
We do. Absolutely. Yes, we do. We have a wide variety of fertilizers, different sizes. We have organic and non-organic. We carry the full line of Sunnyland.
Mm-hmm.
And others as well. We have black cow. We have worm casting. I mean, these are the things you want to put into your garden, getting ready to plant.
This time of the year, yes, exactly. Because we don't talk about amending a single hole, but we talk about amending the entire garden bed. And so you want to get a good amount and put it in, and just that way you don't have to worry about a single plant.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. Also, butterfly plants, we actually have some. I know butterflies are not all that active right now, but we do have some of the sages, and we have some of the milkweed even.
Oh, good.
And
I see them coming through my yard, so I always like to have something out there for them.
Much activity right now, you know, looking out. Usually, they're everywhere. But anyway, we do have plants to attract them, as well as some... red firecracker plants, which are great for hummingbirds.
Oh, yes.
And we have some of the purple sage that they seem to like as well.
Well, I hear the birds in the background. I hear the morning doves.
Yeah.
And they're cooing so loudly. But you also have a seed for to attract wildlife to plots if somebody wants
Absolutely.
To go ahead and get ready for the spring season.
We do, and we also carry a really good line of bird feed, including safflower and sunflower, and we carry it in big bags and by the pound, so, depending what your needs are.
Yeah. Have you seen any robins this year?
No,
I haven't either. I haven't either. I saw somebody on Facebook said they had seen some, but I haven't. Usually,
flock. Yeah.
Yeah. Usually, the whole street is full of them. So maybe, maybe
I think it's a little early.
Yeah, it is a little early. But I was thinking with the warmer weather.
Same with the cedar waxwings. You know.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, they'll be coming. They tend to come in all at once, and then they go away.
Well, Blondie, tell everybody where you're located, because if they haven't been to your Simon Seeds Nursery, they need to come, because it's just such a treat to go through.
Well, thank you. We're located downtown Leesburg on Magnolia Street at the corner of Magnolia and First. We're right next to the police station. We're open from 8 till 5:30 Monday through Friday, 8 till 1 on Saturday. And you can give us a call at any time at 787-4415.
Thank you so much, Blondine.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Simon Says Nursery has a great, great selection of different types of plants that you can get that are for Florida. You don't have to worry about, will this grow here? They do well in Florida, so you definitely want to check it out and see them. Also, this is a quick reminder that my garden tour for Buffalo, the largest garden walk in the United States, July 18th through the 22nd, is going to, it's filling up fast. And so if you would like more information, come along with me, please contact me. You can contact me through Facebook, or you can contact me through my website. You can go onto my website, www.she-consulting.com, and you will see the Buffalo tour, and you can click on it and find out more information on how to register. We're going to have a great time. This is a once-in-a-lifetime garden trip. I will tell you, you will see more Florida plants up in Buffalo than you could ever imagine. It's like going through paradise. It is amazing. We're also going to be having dinner overlooking Niagara Falls, and we're staying at the best hotel in Buffalo. So you're going to want to come with us. We're going to have a great time. You don't have to be a gardener. You can just love plants. You can be a photographer. Just enjoy walking. You'll enjoy the day. So we're going to have a great time. So you can go to my website, Facebook website, and you can check out the Buffalo Garden Tour, or you can go to my website, www.she-consulting.com. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to In Your Backyard. My name is Teresa Watkins. I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author, and host of In Your Backyard. And we've got a serious topic coming up. I was recently at the Tropical Plant in International Expo in Fort Lauderdale a few weeks ago, and I met this wonderful representative from the Fresh from Florida department, and her name is Sue Alspa, and she's the Environmental Specialist, Division of Agricultural Environmental Services with the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Science Services. Good afternoon, Sue. Thank you for joining me today on In Your Backyard.
Thank you so much, Teresa. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome, because this is something that is near and dear to my heart, because I'm always educating homeowners about termites. And we do have issues. I mean, everybody thinks of Florida as being, you know, termite infested. But I was startled to learn that we possibly have another species here. So let's start off with, how many termites are there in Florida per property acre?
Well, that all depends on where you're located in Florida, and it depends on kind of your property and adjacent properties. But in my particular instance, I have a lot of trees. There's a lot of trees in my neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
So there might be more termite species in my yard than, say, somebody who doesn't have vegetation and lives in a much more sterile environment.
Okay.
So a lot of it depends, but you do have to keep in mind that not all of the termite species in Florida are pests.
Okay.
Some are more naturally occurring, and they don't infest our houses.
Oh, that's good to know, because, I mean, people see ants flying or carpenter ants in wood, and they think they have termites. So what's the difference between termites and ants?
Well, in my opinion, the easiest way for a homeowner to tell the difference between a termite and ants, well, basically there's two easy ways. Number one is that an ant, you will see three body parts when you look at it. You'll see the head, you'll see the thorax, and you'll see the abdomen.
Right.
And a termite, you only see two body parts. You see a head and what you think is the abdomen, but they actually have the middle part, it's just fused with the abdomen.
Right.
So that to me is one of the two easiest ways to tell the difference. The second easiest way is by their wings. If you're seeing them flying, a termite has four wings that are all the same length. An ant has two wings that are long and two wings that are short.
Well, that's a really easy way to look at them and tell. So usually by the time I see an ant and it's squished, and so I can't tell whether they had angle antennas or whether the antenna was straight. So, you know, the wing part, that's a really easy way to do it. So that's great. So now we talked, you came up to me and said, oh, we've got to tell people about this new termite. Yes. So what kind of termite do we have now? And, you know, what is the new one?
Okay, we now have in Broward County that we know of, we have a new invasive species called the conehead termite. And the only place that we know it exists in the entire continental United States is down here in Broward County.
Wow.
But I want to emphasize that's where we found them, but they could be anywhere. That's why we're trying to reach out to other parts of Florida to educate people to keep their eyes open for this species. And their native range is many of the islands in the Caribbean, southern Mexico, all of Central America, and northern South America. So we're pretty close to their native range. So it was pretty inevitable that they were going to show up here at some point in time.
Another first for Florida. Go Florida. And so, so how did they get here, though? So did they come over in furniture? Did they come over in luggage or imports?
Well, we'll never be 100% positive, but we feel fairly confident that the way they arrived in Broward County was through a vessel, a boat, that had picked up the infestation while they were in its native range, motored to Florida and docked at a private marina in Dania Beach, which is a city here in Broward County.
Wow.
And once they, parked the boat or docked the boat, they got off the boat in some way, whether or not it was infested cargo that was offloaded. Or these things are very, very smart in a simple sort of way. They would even walk across the mooring rope to get
That's how
intelligent these things are.
That's amazing. And, you know, this is nothing new for Florida. We're always on the lookout for new invasive species. We get, you know, 20 to 30 new kinds of insects every year.
Well, you know what I say? I always say everybody wants to live in Florida.
That's true, even the insects. Okay, so tell us about conehead termites, because I got this vision of Saturday Night Live in my head. So tell me what conehead termites look like, and so people can start looking for them.
Okay, great. Well, they're very tiny mostly. There's different members of a conehead nest. The soldiers and the workers are the most abundant. They're only about, they're not even quite the size of a grain of rice.
Wow.
So they're pretty tiny. They're not that easy to see, you know, with your naked eye. Then once a year, the nest develops what's called swarmers or alates, which have wings and fly to establish new nests. They're about a little over half an inch. So they're a little bit easier to see. But the conehead soldier, the reason it got its name is that it has a cone-shaped head, which is unlike any other termite anyone will see in South Florida. It is the only conehead-shaped termite in Florida. And the reason most other termites have what is called mandibles, which is like little chewing, and that's what they attack their predators with. All the other termites in Florida have these mandibles. The conehead instead attacks its predators by squirting a pine sap chemical out of this cone-shaped nozzle that it has.
Wow.
And that is their mechanism for deterring predators.
Wow.
Other ants, lizards, you know, things that will attack them, they squirt.
It's sap. Oh, my goodness.
So that's where they got their name is the shape of the head. The other thing that's very distinctive about this termite, unlike all other species in Florida, is that when it flies, the wings are a charcoal gray to a blackish color.
Okay.
And all other termites are either clear winged or maybe a honey color winged.
light colored.
So that's another way that we monitor for conehead termites.
Okay. So now, you know, everybody thinks, well, not everybody, I shouldn't say generalizing it that much, but the popular myth is that mulch attracts termites. And, you know, what we know is that the termites are there. They like the mulch, but they also like moisture. So what kind of environment are conehead termites looking for?
Well, the conehead termite is, again, unlike any other termites down here, it's a termite that lives above ground. It's what they call a terrestrial termite or arboreal termite. It lives in trees mainly.
Okay.
So, you know, they will eat anything made of cellulose, basically. They prefer dead vegetation in, like, trees, you know, like a branch is
sure.
broken and there's, like,
yeah,
a snag.
Yeah,
dead snag or even the heartwood of a tree they will eat.
Wow.
And I'm learning in my years of working with conehead termites that they really prefer an outside environment. And once they start running out of food or if the population gets so big, then they will migrate towards structures and homes or sheds.
Oh, my goodness.
But the main place that they like the most, they love to hide, so they like to be in kind of like overgrown lots. But they will basically infest wherever is convenient for them.
They're smart. Okay, so can you stay with me through the break, Sue? Because
absolutely.
Okay, because we've got to tell people what they need to do if they spot these conehead termites. We want people to start looking for them. So we are talking with Sue Alspaugh. She is the Environmental Specialist 3 with the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. We're going to be right back after a word from our sponsor. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss these coneheads.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling.
Sunnyland Professional Fertilizers is what Florida lawns and gardens require to keep them healthy, green, and growing. For over a century, Sunnyland has been your hometown team, making fertilizers in Florida specifically for our sandy soil conditions. You can purchase Sunnyland products, Right Green, Turf Grow, and Sunnyland Professional Fertilizers at Ace Hardware, Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart. When you're looking for fertilizer for your Florida lawn and garden, put your trust in Sunnyland. Sunnyland, keeping Florida green since 1834.
Hi, this is Teresa Watkins, host of In Your Backyard on My 790 AM. When I need gardening supplies, I stop by Simon Seeds in Leesburg. Simon Seed has everything you need to make your yard beautiful and your garden productive, from seeds and plants to organic pesticides and fertilizers. Blondine can help you grow your plants like a pro. Make your landscape and garden the envy of your neighborhood. Visit Simon Seed at 105 West Magnolia in downtown Leesburg. Or call Blondine at 787-4415 and be on your way to the yard you've always dreamed of. And we're back with more of In Your Backyard. I'm talking with Sue Alspaugh. She's the Environmental Specialist 3, Division of Agricultural Environmental Services with the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. And Sue, we are talking about conehead termites. This is a new termite for Florida. You need their help. What part of Florida are they in? And they're not in anywhere else in the United States?
That's correct. Well, that we know of. Currently, we have two populations in Broward County, but they really could be anywhere in the state of Florida. They could be anywhere along the southern, more warmer states. So that's why I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to the people up in Central Florida to get people to watch out for them, and if they find them, to report them to us.
So do pesticide companies know about these conehead termites?
It depends. We definitely have focused very strongly on outreach to the pest control companies because that's, you know, of the three finds we've had in Broward County, all have been from a pest control company.
Oh, good. Okay.
So we're constantly adding coneheads to our termite programs. So they most should be aware. A lot of it would depend on, you know, how long they've been in the business and how much
education they do. Yeah. So, and that's always a key ingredient for hiring contractors, is find out how much education and how often they get to these workshops. That's important.
Absolutely.
So what should homeowners be looking for, and tell us, what do they need to do?
Okay. Well, as I mentioned, this is an above ground termite. The number one thing we look for when we're out in the field is the tunnels that they construct.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that they build that goes from the nest to the feeding source and back and forth. They go through these tunnels. They like, as I mentioned, to hide. So even when they're feeding and moving from to and from the nest, they travel in these tunnels. And they're typically about a quarter inch wide. Kind of a dark brown, but that can depend on what they're eating. I've seen them red when termites were eating red mulch.
Wow.
So, but they're very distinctive. I mean, if anybody would ever see one of these tunnels, and we have lots more pictures on our website, which we can talk about in a minute.
Sure.
But if somebody would like to see pictures, they can go to our website. But anytime anybody sees anything that looks like a tunnel, they should contact us so we can determine whether or not it's conehead termite.
Okay, that's important. So tell us about your website, because when I went on it, there's great pictures on there, and I went, wow, I would be able to recognize one now in my sleep.
Excellent. That's what I was hoping for. So our website can be reached by going to freshfromflorida.com, and that's all one word, Fresh From Florida. And then go to the search engine and put in conehead. And it will automatically put them to the conehead website. And then on the left side of the website, you'll see photos, videos. And if they click on that, they can find all of the photos that we have of the conehead.
Okay.
And so it's got the termite itself. It's got lots of tunnels, nests. So a lot of pictures to look at.
Okay, and I'll post that website link on all my social media, so I'll do that and make sure everybody gets it. And then, but then also, too, you have a form they can fill out.
Yes, on the website itself, on the main page, there's a form there that they can fill out, and it goes through our helpline, and the helpline automatically forwards all of those emails and reports to me.
Okay. And so is there a number they can call?
Yes. The helpline number is 888-397-1517.
Okay, great. And so this is just a plea going out to everybody to just be on the alert, to look for them, get to know what they look like. They look like chocolate drops on an insect body, don't they?
Yes, they do. Very so, good. I like it.
Yeah. And but these are not good. This is not a good thing, but we just need to get right on. We need to get right on this. And if anybody notices this, they need to contact Fresh From Florida, the DPI helpline, and they can call or they can go and do the form, and I'll post those links. So I appreciate, Sue, you coming on so much. Will you do me a favor, and in about 6 months to a year, can we just update and see where everything is on this?
Absolutely. I would love it.
Okay. Or you can come on anytime. So just let me know if you got updated news. I would certainly be more than willing to have you come on, because you're great. And this is something very important. We got to nip this in the bud.
That's what we're trying for. So I appreciate your help too.
All right. Thank you so much, Sue.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. That was Sue Alsbach. She is the Environmental Specialist, Division of Agriculture, Environmental Services, Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. So you definitely want to check back on my website and also on my Facebook page. I will be posting links for you and also pictures of them. And so, and you know how to do it too as well. You can just Google conehead termites and do Fresh From Florida. And, you know, so it's just another thing. They are really, they're kind of scary looking. This is the stuff that, you know, okay, we just didn't need this, you know, again. So I appreciate Sue coming on and reaching out to me to get out there, because in the villages, it's important for everyone to just walk your yards on a regular basis. When you have termites, you can see the tunnels very easily on the outside of your home. And so just walk your yards on a weekly basis. Look at your plants. Look at your shrub. Look at your tree. trees. Notice if the leaves are eaten. I just was in a yard yesterday, and the deer were all over the mini Nuyuki camellias. They love them. I'm so disappointed. And so, but just kind of look and see what is going ahead and making good use of your landscape and your house. And on the outside, you don't want to have the irrigation hitting your home. You want to keep your foundation as dry as possible, as dry as possible. And then you want to make sure you're not overwatering. Landscape that stays wet provides the moisture, not only for conehead termites, you know, they're more of the above ground. They don't need the moisture as much, but the other types of termites, the subterranean and the Formosans, they like to have that moisture. So you want to make sure that you're not over irrigating. The irrigation is not hitting your house, that you have all wood piles and dead shrubs and branches away from your house, okay? And so if you do see the conehead termites, you know, if you see termites at all, call your pest company immediately. But if you see the conehead termites, you're going to want to report it. And that number Sue gave us was 1-888-397-1517, or you can go to the freshfromflorida.com site and put in coneheads in the search engine, and that will bring up all the pages, and you can see these conehead termite workers and the soldiers, and it's kind of a little, it kind of bugs you out, you know, so you want to check those out. If you'd like to go to my website, you can see the talks that I present. If your group would like to have me talking and speaking to your group, I would love to come and visit. You can go to www.she-consulting.com, she-consulting.com. That she stands for Sustainable Horticultural Environments. I need to take just a minute and brag about the Best of Hows Award that my company just was presented with, the Best of Hows 2019, and you can see that on my website. You can also go to hows.com and look up Sustainable Horticultural Environments and check out my before and after pictures of the landscapes that I've designed, so you can kind of get some ideas of what you'd like to do in your yard. And you can always call me here on Tuesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can call In Your Backyard and ask me questions regarding your landscape. So what should we be doing right now? Well, you should be, again, your container gardens, going ahead and cutting back your plants that have bloomed throughout the wintertime, and your coleuses. Go ahead and cut those back. Your whirling butterflies, go ahead and cut those back. Your ornamental grasses, go ahead and cut those back to about 8 to 10 inches above the ground. Go ahead and hack them back now. We don't want to be seeing the dead grass in June and July and August. It looks really bad. Go ahead and get it over with now. Give them a good haircut right now and cut them back, and they will start to flush right out. With these warm temperatures, it'll be no time. Also, too, this is a good time if you want to bump up your plants to a new container. If they are girdled, if they have girdled roots and you haven't transplanted your plant in a long time, you can do that. Open up the root systems, wash the dirt off the roots, and put them into a new, larger pot. Or you can take your pot, that same pot, take the plant out of it, cut a third of the roots off, okay, and kind of fluff up the roots, put more dirt into the pot, and put it back in the same pot. It will last for years if you do that every year, okay? So what you're doing is you're cutting off the old roots and you're stimulating new root growth, but you're also putting in new dirt into the pot so that the plant can go ahead and get started all over again. This is the right time of the year to do that. Also, too, your topiaries, you can go ahead and cut those back. You know, one time when I was working for a box store, we had a woman who had purchased a topiary. She bought it back. She brought it back because it had outgrown its shape, and she didn't realize that she needed to cut it to put it to keep it in that spiral shape. So if you have topiaries, they're a little bit more higher maintenance, but you need to make sure that they're trimmed on a regular basis. Now, for those of you who had timocheinas or anything that died back this winter, go ahead and you can cut those shrubs and standard trees back by a third. You do not want to cut your azaleas, your camellias right now, anything that blooms in the springtime, your oak leaf hydrangeas, you do not want to cut those back because then you'll be cutting the blooms off for next year. Okay, you can connect with me on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Teresa Watkins FL, and you can Google me, you'll find me everywhere. Tomorrow I'm going to be talking to Port St. Lucie about luscious succulents. I'm looking forward to meeting that group. It's kind of a large group. It's going to be about 100 plus people down in Port St. Lucie. And then I'm also talking at different garden clubs throughout this month and at the festivals. Spring in the Garden is going to be in Winter Garden, and I'll be there. You'll want to come and visit me on there. I'll give you more information as that event happens too as well. So I appreciate everyone listening and calling in. Also for all the emails, I certainly do appreciate it. You know, this is the time of the year to get out into the garden. You want to make sure that you're doing what's necessary so that your garden will thrive during the summer and you don't have to work this summer in the yard. Do it now. Get your landscape all prepared and you will have an easier time of it. I appreciate Jay, thank you so much for taking care of the program. And Tracy told me she saw robins in the yard, so they're out there all day today. So good for her. She wants to bring me pictures of her Brussels sprouts. I'll post those for you. Remember, water's not only your right, it's your responsibility. Take care, everybody. See you next week.
Gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from.
You're listening to Real Country on AM 790 WLBE Leesburg.